It's the Pirates Week for Sunday, December 21st, 2008.
Oh, the FDC will not catch me, for I am quite elusive. Don't care what they say. My life to live. I transmit our song. They say that it's wrong, 'cause I never paid them the dough. So curse ye, scallywags, you'll never take away my pirate radio.
Well, I'm Ragnar Danskjold, and you have once again found the Pirates Week, a show dedicated to pirate radio, concentrating on the shortwave spectrum, but we cover all aspects of free media. Got a, no pirate in the news stories again this week, but we do have some news from around the blogosphere. We're going to go through some relevant forum postings on the internet, including the Free Radio Network, and note stations logged per the Free Radio Weekly. We got a bunch of off-air recordings this week, a couple odds and ends, and some closing thoughts for me, so stay tuned. It's a Pirates Week.
Almost live from the Fuking Ionosphere, it's the Pirates Week with Ragnar Danisjold.
Everybody doing this morning? We got another good Pirates Week for you this week. Got an early start this morning, and in fact, the International Radio Report is not even on for another couple hours, but if they have something interesting, I'll put it in, slip it in during post. But right now, we got a couple things. I want to touch on a couple things before we get into Pirates in the News. Liberty Roundtable, a shortwave listener, passed this heads up of a low power radio blog. It links to a Liberty Roundtable, a show that purports to be about political discussion of current issues affecting you and your liberty. Well, back on November 6th, they did a show on micro broadcasting. It was supposed to be like a 15 minute segment, but it ended up going for the whole show, about an hour and 45 minutes, on how to start up your own LPAM or LPFM station. And which is best, AM or FM, and just talked to a bunch of people that had their own stations, a bunch of call-ins on that. It's a really interesting show. You can download the show, and the low-power radio discussion starts about 9 minutes into the first hour. I'll have links in the show notes, and I'll link to my personal blog where I blogged it. Pretty cool stuff, and hey, thanks for the heads up there, shortwave listener. The Media Geek also mentioned the low-power radio blog on his blog. Paul notes that it's primarily a pretty good compendium of annotated links that's been going a couple posts a month since February of this year. He also notes that the two message boards for micro-broadcasting that are really hopping are the community radio section of radioinfo.com. That's radio-info.com, and the other is hobbybroadcaster.net. I actually took a look at both of them. Hobbybroadcaster.net is really the one that's hopping. In fact, I'm going to start following that. You know, I've said over the years I'd love to have a short segment on micro broadcasting for this podcast and just kind of see what's going on in the LPAM, LPFM areas of the hobby broadcasting in that area. Be cool. It's something I've always kind of wanted to do here on the Pirates Week. Hey, and I also want to throw a shout out there to the couple guys who wrote in the reviews on iTunes for the podcast. Last week, I threw the shout out there looking for some reviews, and we got a few, and that's very cool. Hey, let's kick it. Let's get into Pirates in the News now, shall we?
Pirates in the News.
Well, like I said in the opening, we really have no Pirates in the News stories, but I got two blog posts I do want to throw out there. John Anderson of DIY Media, he brings us the news of a new pirate on air, Major Byron Sarchet of the U.S. military, operating in Sodor City. During the fighting there, Major Sarchet liberated a transmitter from the State Department embedded provincial reconstruction team. He put the radio on a rooftop of a building and started broadcasting a pro-coalition message. Okay, now, this may not be a pirate as much as a clandestine. Perhaps not. But radio geeks would be familiar with the tools. He had a 100-watt Harris AM-FM radio-in-a-box transmitter, coupled with a Marantz rack-mounted portable CD cassette player. The PSYOPs team loaded up a laptop with contemporary Iraqi and Arabic pop music and started broadcasting on a local frequency, 93.9 FM. John in his post goes on to wonder at the irony of not being able to do here what they're doing over there. Kind of an interesting blog post that the military just stole a transmitter from another branch of the government and just threw it on a rooftop and started broadcasting over in Iraq. Interesting. And also from the blogosphere, I found NASA says the ionosphere is not where it should be. The U.S. Space Agency says it has discovered the boundary between the Earth's upper atmosphere and space has moved to an extraordinarily low altitude. The finding was determined by an Air Force satellite launched back in April. During the first months of the satellite's operations, the transition between the ionosphere and space was found to be about 260 miles in altitude during the nighttime and barely rising over 500 miles during the day. Those altitudes, says NASA, was extraordinarily low compared to the more typical values of 400 miles during the night and 600 miles during the day. Yeah, that's very interesting. Not really sure if that has anything to do with the solar minimum we're just starting to climb out of, but always trying to keep an eye on the sky above. Now, we won't go into it, but NASA is also reporting an extremely large hole found in the magnetosphere last week. Not only is the sun not wanting us to communicate on high frequency, but I think it's trying to kill us. Not sure. Phantom posted this about it in HF Underground, if you want to read the post. Really some interesting reading on what's going on in the skies above us.
Breaking the law, breaking the law. Breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law.
The FRN Forum postings.
Okay, let's get into some forum postings like we always do. We start off with the free radio network, frn.net/vines. Man, I don't know what it is today, but I cannot talk. I keep stumbling over everything I say. I.O. Snopes posts that the answer for the propagation blues is a full-sized resonant antenna. He goes on to say that if you think you don't have room for one, you almost certainly do. Look into linear loading and remember, although straight lines are the best, crooked setups are better than none. If you use a dipole configuration, only one leg needs to be up high and in the clear for a receiving antenna. Just position the lower leg for minimum noise pickup. Most of the time, you'll find that although the noise level increased, the signal you are trying to hear have increased the same amount or even more, and will be audible above the noise. Bram Stoker says that in his experience has been that a folded dipole noticeably reduces noise. He says to run the leg a foot or two apart and connect the ends together through a several hundred ohm resistor. Bram also reports that the Hard-Ass Report Review Committee has finally gotten off its duff and checked the batch of reports accumulating this fall for correct and excruciating details. The committee was obviously in a festive and accommodating mood. The instruments of verification will go into the mail as soon as he can pry loose Monique the mailwoman to get the appropriate receptacle. Bram's gonna send out QSL soon, okay? Jeez, man, I can't talk. Over in the Pirate Op Exchange, Drock and Rick post more audio tools for MP3 splitting and conversion. He supplies a bunch of useful links to audio programs. Lex and myself also add a couple links. Over in Alt Radio Pirate, Todd, N9OGL, has been stirring up the news groups again. You remember Todd from the last couple years. He was running, as he claims, a Part 15 station called Omega 1 back in late 2007. Raleigh Hollingsworth of the FCC disagreed on the particulars of the station and sent him a letter back on January 29th, 2008 for running a station on 6950 and 13556 with power levels exceeding the levels permitted. Todd, to his credit, is no shrinking violet. He stood his ground in asserting that he was in compliance, but on the other hand, irked some in the ham radio community. The confrontations have been extremely heated, rivaling some of the worst rows in shortwave pirate radio family. Throughout it, Todd stuck to his guns. I wouldn't want to put words into his mouth, but as I remember and understand it, he said that he was running several watts on his station, but was still legal through antenna attenuation. Okay, that's the background. Todd is back in the news groups again due to his Freedom of Information Act request to the FCC concerning his warning letter from Riley Hollingsworth. His announcement of this has brought out his detractors. But my two cents on this. First, I was once able to catch Omega 1 on the airwaves, way down in the noise, but it was detectable. Pirate station or no pirate station, it's always fun to pull a weak station out of the noise from several hundred miles away, especially after a few days of trying for it. Two, kudos for any op putting a station on the air, no matter what the power levels or the broadcast material is. Very cool to hear Omega 1. But all things considered, if I was running a station, I think I would very much appreciate a letter from the FCC field agent telling me to cease and desist. You know, before an official letter with fines attached or a bunch of guys with shiny shoes and my local sheriff showed up on my doorstep, I'd appreciate the heads up first that I was on the FCC radar. And I don't think I'd fight them because the government doesn't always follow the law. They will win one way or another. Anyways, that's my editorial. Going to be interesting. I'm going to be following the Freedom of Information Act that Todd has requested concerning his station Omega 1. Hey, let's continue on from the Free Radio Weekly, number 671, covering logs from the 13th through the 19th of December. Stations being heard on air this last week include Captain Morgan, Channel Z Radio, MAC Shortwave, Radio Clandestine, Radio Pigmeat International, Undercover Radio, WTCR, that's 20th Century Radio, and Wolverine Radio.
This hobby sucks.
John, all hobbies suck. But if you keep at it, you might find at the end that you've managed to kill some precious time.
Wow. I never thought of it like that.
Well, I got a bunch of off-air recordings for you this week, so let's get right into it. First up, William K. Hertz recorded Psycho Radio 6925 Upper Sideband on the 16th of December, just past the midnight hour UTC, 0040. Let's take a listen to Psycho Radio. Next up, Grass Cutter and Sunshine. The Axis caught Grass Cutter and Sunshine 6925 Upper Sideband the 19th of December around 2000 UTC. SIO 343 in Eastern Michigan. He received this with a soft rock SDR kit and a vertical antenna. Let's take a listen to Grass Cutter and Sunshine. Zane Radio down in Chicagoland caught WEAK Radio. That's right, Week Radio, 6950 Upper Sideband, the 20th of December. Called an SINPO of 25432. Take a listen to WEAK Week Radio.
Radio.
On December 20th, I caught WHYP, 6925 Upper Sideband, around 1430 UTC. I'm going to let this one run, WHYP, one of my favorite stations. Actually, I think it might have been the first pirate I ever heard. Take a listen to about a 2.5 minute copy of WHYP back on the 20th of December.
The ghetto and give them little ghetto children toys first before the upper class white folks get their stuff, because you know what, people in the ghetto, they deserve to have their presents first, and a lot of them poor children are, you know, deprived of things that, you know, maybe some of us take for granted. James Brown says to Santa Claus to go straight to the ghetto. WHYB back again in the afternoon, seeing as propagation is probably picking up once again. Been pretty good during the daytime, eh? Yeah.
Yeah, well, from the time to go, a
few hours, it's going to be shooting, and they won't be broadcasting anymore. Getting some more programming here. I'm going to be playing around and singing some songs. And we're going to do some Hanukkah stuff here. Cousin A is supposed to be dropping by a little bit later. So sit back, enjoy the WHYB Dual Christmas Hanukkah Special.
Thank you, Andy! The star of the show! That's the brother Rock! Yeah!
As no fault, we're trying
Thank you.
nice to see WHYP on the air again. He took like a year or so off, but he's been popping on the bands again, which is really cool. Okay, we got time for one last quickie. Let's do one last quickie. This is actually pretty cool. WTCR had a lot of loggings for WTCR last night, the 21st of December. He was down on 3433 upper sideband. That's way down there. 3433 had a very good copy, kind of low noise, had a little bit of atmospheric whine kick up, and that's unfortunately a part of this recording. He was playing, when I was listening to him, a whole bunch of big band Christmas music, and take a listen. This is pretty cool. This is around 0120, 0130 UTC down on 3433 kilohertz, upper sideband WTCR, 20th Century Radio.
From WTCR, 20th Century Radio.
Oh, Mom. This must be a hard one. Look how it's snowing. Baby won't be here anymore. And as the day before Christmas.
The Pirates Week Podcast, your home for shortwave pirate information. PiratesWeek.info. That's piratesweek.info.
Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all?
Other thing I want to share with you this week. Over the years, I've played some clips of WBCQ, especially Alan Wiener Worldwide. In fact, I went off on Alan last year when he said some things that sounded a little degrading to the shortwave pirate community. But I want to give credit where credit's due, and on balance, Alan over the year has done a lot for pirate radio, and shortwave pirate radio specifically. In fact, this show is aired, the Pirates Week is aired on WBCQ's Area 51, the 5110 transmitter on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern, which is something actually I giggle myself to sleep with. But anyways, Alan last Friday night on his Alan Wiener Worldwide show talked a little bit about Area 51, and it's something I wanted to share with you. And hey, Alan, if you're listening, thank you, and keep those thundering beasts roaring out of Maine. You spread a lot of joy and entertainment to a lot of people around the planet. Take a listen to what Alan was saying about Area 51, especially you pirate ops out there, if you want to get your stuff aired on a big transmitter. Take a listen to this.
I got a progress report from Larry this afternoon about Area 51, and I'm pleased to report that the programming on Area 51 is being well received, both in content and signal. And that Larry is lining up more and more contributors to the radio art on our 5110 transmitter. And if I can just pause and take a minute to comment on that, that is a very happy thing for me. One of the things I always wanted to see happen with WBCQ is that people in the free radio community had access to the airwaves where they could do programs over some of our shortwave transmitters and not have to constantly look over their shoulder because they're turning on transmitters that maybe they shouldn't, well, at least according to the government authorities, and whether they have jurisdiction or not, who knows. But anyway,
you
turning
do.
On, yes, we do, turning on shortwave transmitters when they may not you know, supposed to be doing that. And thanks to Larry and Jane Will, who basically pay the freight. If you're a free radio presenter and you'd like to maybe put a program on Area 51, you should contact Larry. His email is cosmicdebris. Yes. You can email him radio@zapahead.net. And, you know, tell him what you got and what kind of a program it is.
Well, we're going to wind this puppy down before I get any more tongue-tied today. I did want to say I did see the funniest SIO rating in some time. Uncle John over on the West Coast, he caught the 3433 broadcast of WTCR last night. He called out an SIO of, quote, crap. Too bad there, Uncle John. Most of the gang that caught the show had a pretty good signal in the low static levels. In fact, I believe I played an off-air recording that I got on my Drake earlier in the show. But crap. Yeah, that's an SIO rating that I've also often wanted to put out there. Also, earlier we played an off-air clip of Grasscutter and Sunshine Radio as reported by The Axis on his Soft Rock SDR. That's a neat little kit, those Soft Rock kits. I'm sure there will be more on those this January when the new batch of kits hit the market. For the price, even if you screw one up trying to solder it together, it's definitely worth it. They're very inexpensive. They're worth checking out. www.softrockradio.org. softrockradio.org. When the new version hits the market next year in January, it's something I plan on picking up, and I will give you a report on a very cool little USB key fob that just fits in the back of your computer for an SDR. Very inexpensive and something I'm going to check out. Okay, so what did we learn this week? Well, we learned if the U.S. government steals a transmitter and starts it up, it's not necessarily pirate radio. And a single innocuous post from Todd can create one of the longest and hateful threads of the year. And Larry and Jane, they pay the freight for Alan's thundering beasts. Okay, that's it. We're out of here. I'm out of here. Talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.
The Boat Anchor Soft Glow to your MP3 player via the World Wide Web. We meld the oldest and the newest audio technology. Welcome to the Pirates Week.
That's piratesweek.info.
And thanks to Larry and Jane Will, who basically pay the freight. You know, somebody's got to pay, unfortunately, up here. It's just so expensive. And I know I beat this to death, but it's the truth. It's so expensive to run these thundering beasts.
You are, without doubt, the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.